Welcome back, everybody. Welcome to Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. I hope everyone had an enjoyable day today, and tonight we have open mic. We've heard you, and we've heard your cries, and we're answering it tonight by saying, hey, you get to ask the questions, and we'll be answering. I have with me tonight my co-host, A. Michelle, who will be in a little slightly late tonight, Janet Hurd, and Sky Vaughn. Ladies, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great.
Doing well. Hello, everybody out there. If this is your first time, we give out the area codes and the last four digits if we don't want to give our names. Or you're free to give your name. This is an extremely safe space. Everybody is welcome, no matter what walk of life you're coming from. It's welcome and it's safe. So let's get in. We're going to start off so we can get as many questions in tonight as we possibly can. Let's go straight to the callers. Any questions?
Well, I guess I can start. Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay, my name is Patrice, and it's kind of, a two-fold question, maybe. If any of you have ever been in a long-distance relationship, is that something you would advise? And how did you make it work?
Well, this is Janet. For me, I've had some long distance relationships, and I mean, for me, it didn't work. I mean, we tried, but you know, you're talking about a significant amount of space, and you know, in between there, I'm a type of person to where I like to have hands on. You know, doing things and being able. Yes, I know we have the Skype and Uvu and, you know, all that good stuff. And, you know, so you got some things of that nature that can kind of keep you a little bit more in tune with that individual. But, you know, I mean, and it can get, depending on your appetite of wanting to be with that person, you know, it can get expressive, you know. When you're talking, you got 5 or 6 states in between the both of you, unless you're trying to, you know for sure that somebody is going to be moving closer. You know, me personally, I wouldn't do it again. But I can't say it won't work. It just didn't work for me.
Okay. Yeah, I've been in two. One was in the country. It worked out fine. She was in Atlanta. And we made it work. I believe in any situation you can make it work if both people are willing to work at it. We did, and it did work. She, Atlanta to D.C. was a short flight, and we were able to get all kinds of flight points and things like that that eventually led up to free tickets and things like that. She would come to me on a Thursday and leave on Monday. When I would go to her, sorry?
Oh, nothing.
Yeah. And some of the, where I would go to her, you know, Thursday, I worked from home, so I was able to spend a week, you know, with her, you know, and then come back home. So it worked for us. Unfortunately, my partner passed this past September. But for the time that we were doing it, it did work well for us.
I was also in a relationship before with someone in another country. And I have to say, even though she's in the Caribbean, we found ways as far as expenses. There's free phone, WhatsApp, you know, Magic Jack, that the calls are pretty much free to another country. You know, you just have to look for, you have to look for those things. You know, we video chat, of course, the intimacy, you know, even that you can make work long distance if you really want to make it work in that way until you can see each other again. So my advice is you just have to find the ways and really put in the effort if it's something you really want, you know, and work at that.
Okay. Thank you both.
Any other questions out there? Don't be afraid.
But, you know, in addition to what, you know, to the question about the long-distance relationship, I mean, it could be a good thing. It can be a, you know, in the beginning was, like, very nice because you find things to do together. You find things to, you know, give each other something to look forward to, you know, because I know, like, for me, we would actually, you know, while we were on Skype or whatever, we would cook together. We would cook the same exact meal, you know, and we would plan, like, a movie night or something like that. We would already have the movie set, you know, or she may have Netflix or I may have Netflix or however we do it. You know, we just make the same dinner or whatever, and we'll sit there and have the, you know, the you know, laptop or whatever right there, and we watch each other, and we eat together. It's just, you know, for some people, you may say, oh, okay, that's just a bit too much or whatever, but I think it's a beautiful thing. It can be nice. You know, you have to be creative when you're doing things like that, you know. If you have one person who's insecure or jealous or whatever, that could be a huge problem, because the minute you change something or, I mean, because things happen, things come up or whatever, and, you know, I mean, it's what you make it, but I think it's possible. I've heard a lot of positive stories about it, and people have ended up together, and then there are those like me that, I'd rather date local. That's just me.
Yeah. I would say that, to that question, it takes a lot of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the key part of a long-distance relationship. You have to be able to trust the person that you're in a relationship with because you're not there. And you have to be able to trust that they're going to be respectful to the relationship and that they're going to be respectful to you. So if you feel as though that you don't have a trusting spirit, or you have been hurt a lot of times and you feel like you can't trust yourself to trust yourself, to trust others, then I would say that those things will work against you because your mind will tell you things like Janet was saying every time you can't reach them. When they're going out and you're not out with them. And just, you know, it'll work. So you have to really build a strong foundation when you're going to be in a long-distance relationship because the time that you are together is extremely all about the quality of it unless you're really rolling in the dough and you're not but a few hours away from one another. But if you're as long-distance as Sky was saying, you know, you have to make the best of that time. And it's just an absolute waste if when you get together, the entire time you're together is to be talking about all the insecurities you had when you were apart.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that the first thing you have to do when you consider a long-distance relationship is make sure you're entering into that relationship with someone that you have built a strong, trusting foundation with. Because some people are, you know, the heart doesn't always, distance doesn't always make everyone's heart grow fonder. Distance for some people make their heart grow yonder. So you have to know that about them. It doesn't, they don't mean to. That's just who they are, and it's what they do. It's not right there with them. They need people right there with them. They want to be in a relationship with you, but some people just need the people right there with them. So it's not serious, but it's someone right there with them. And if that's going to be a problem for you, you know, you have to really work those things out. And so that's my input on long-distance relationships. And I hope we answered your question.
You did. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any questions out there? The floor is open. Again, I see people are starting to click in. More people are clicking in. Again, welcome. We have an open mic where you get to ask whatever question you want. We don't have a set topic tonight. That way everyone gets a little bit of what they would like to hear or talk about tonight. You can give your name. You can make up a name. You can give your area code and the last four digits of your name, however you want us to address you. Or we'll call you caller two. We'll try to keep track of how many different people we call, however you want it. But this is a safe space, and this space is safe for everyone, no matter what walk of life you're coming from. So the mic is open. Anyone have any questions out there?
This is Lanisha from Indy 317 area code. Sacrifice and move the city or armor and for a while now, and I feel like that might not be the right word to hit that.
Carla, are you really close to a computer?
Hello?
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 Yes. That's better. Do you have a question?
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
I have someone saying hello while caller number two, area code 317, is speaking. If I can get you to speak up a little bit more, caller two.
Can we? Hello.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So my question is, how do the feeling of I mention sacrifices in a relationship?
Did everyone hear the question?
I did not.
It was kind of broken up to me, so I
give it to us one more time. You're kind of breaking up.
Okay. The scenario is that I'm in a long distance relationship, and he moved for me, quote unquote, and I felt matching that sacrifice. How do I get over that?
I heard that you're in a long distance relationship with a gentleman. This is the part that I got. You're in a long distance. He moved, and then it broke up. And then how do I match that sacrifice?
I feel like I constantly have to match that sacrifice. It's not that he told me, or he's making me feel, I just personally, internally struggle with that.
Okay, so he's asking you, he moved. He had to move away. Was this for a job?
No, he was away, and then he came to where I live.
Okay.
And he left the job, and he left the home, and, you know, friends and things like that, and like I said, he's not making me feel like I have to match that sacrifice, but I guess I'm just internally, the last couple of years, have felt that I should. How do I get over that feeling?
Okay. Does everyone have the question now?
Okay. I just want a little bit of clarification. Are you saying that he was once where you were, and then he moved away?
No, he moved to where she is now.
Oh,
he was once
a
long-distance relationship, and he relocated and left his job and everything to move where she was, and she's feeling as though, she said he hasn't said it verbally, but she's feeling as though she needs to match that sacrifice, and how does she get past that, those thoughts?
Exactly.
Hmm. When you say match the sacrifice, you mean do something as, big like what he did, move to where you are? Why do you feel like that? Did he make you feel that way, or is that your own personal feeling?
No, I don't feel like he made me feel that way. We're actually from the same area.
Okay.
He just moved out of town, and then we kind of reconnected while he was out of town. And while we were in the midst of reconnecting, developed a long-distance relationship, and he moved back to where we are both from. And I feel like I should, I don't know, he hasn't made me feel like, well, I guess I just, on my own, feel like, man, he left a good job, a good area, better than where we're from, to come back for me. I feel like I should, I don't know, maybe we should together somewhere new, and then I would feel better, or I don't know why I feel like that. I just kind of do.
Well, let me ask you a couple of questions in the answering of your question. This is Minister Dupree Aldridge. Do you show appreciation to the sacrifices? Or, see, to you it's a sacrifice. To him it may not have been a sacrifice. It may have been a sign and show of love and wanting to be closer to you and make your relationship work. But do you appreciate what it is that he has done for you?
Oh, I definitely do, because where we are, it's, I've noticed that it's the violence, it's just bad. I really had thoughts of moving myself, so I definitely appreciate that. I know that it wasn't an easy choice. I guess I just have never, do something that grand for me, and not that I never really struggled with self-esteem, but I'm kind of feeling like, dang, was I worth it? A word for all that?
Well, of course you were. At least he thought you were. Baby, that was love. He was showing you love. And I would say to you, in your way of showing him that you appreciate it, you let him know that I appreciate the way that you started a new career. You uprooted yourself. You moved. You came here for me. And I love the way that you chose to show me love. And you enjoy it. If he's not asking you, if he's not putting you in a position where, where I moved here, if he doesn't seem like he's unhappy about that move and he's unhappy about his new job and all of those things, you get behind that man and you push him. You support him. You empower him. You say thank you in those kinds of ways, because that was his way of showing you he loved you and that he was committed to this relationship. So it's not something you should feel bad about. And if you feel like you should give him something, it shouldn't be on the consensus of, I need to match what it is that he gave to me. Give it from the heart so that it is real and that it's legit. It's not about tit for tat. It's all about giving what you think that person needs you to give to them at that time in the way that they need it to be given.
Wow, I really, really, really need to hear that. I'm glad that I called, and that's been weighing on me really heavy. I pray about it all the time. And I guess that's kind of compared to past relationships, and like I said, I wasn't treated the best before by men, and I allowed that to happen for so long, and for him to just, it's kind of like I was in shock. I've been in shock the past 2 years. Thank you for that.
You're welcome. Anyone have any input on that question? Anyone else have anything to say?
Yeah, I just want to follow up with, as Minister Dupree said, he's showing you his love, and you can honor that. You just commit to him and support him, like she said. It's about, and just love him the way he loves you. That's all you can do, and that's all that's needed, you know, in a relationship for to build and grow. You know, just love each other and support him in that way. Like she said, it's not a tit for tat. It's not what I got to give him now. You know, just love and support him and move on with your lives together and keep building.
Again, I got some new callers dialing in and checking in. This is Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. And this is open mic. You get to ask whatever questions you want to ask. This is a safe space, and we're all respectful. It's safe for people who are coming from all walks of life, and we do no judging whatsoever. You can give your name if you feel comfortable, if you want to give the area code and the last four digits of your number, or if you want to make up a name, it's all on you. I just want to let you know you're safe. The floor is open up for questions, and everyone's mic is open. So if you got a lot of stuff going on in the background, you might want to mute yourself and unmute when you're ready to ask a question. Floor's open to you.
I just want to know, is it static or is it on my end?
Is that on that's static on the line, the actual computer line, and they're trying to fix that.
Okay. I'm going back to meeting now. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Well, I have a question.
Okay.
And I guess I could be referred to as caller three. What are your feelings on exes being on your Facebook page or your social networking page, Twitter and the likes?
I don't have an issue. I think it's just drama-free and you respect, you say ex. I think if it's a respect for each other, it shouldn't really be any conflict to me.
Are you currently in a relationship?
Yes.
Well, I think, you know, and I agree. I don't think it should be a problem if there's no drama, whatever. And people seem to get it, you know, twisted a lot of time, and they think that ex automatically means enemy. It does not mean that that person is an enemy of yours. Sometimes people just grow apart, but they're still friends. You know, it doesn't mean, my thing is this, if something would be wrong with me if I would demand or want my present girlfriend or woman to, you know, block and delete all of her exes because you're with me now. That would say it's something on me, not on, you know, I mean, I would find a problem, you know, with that, especially if nothing had transpired or whatever and they're just friends. And sometimes you just have to go along with the flow. I mean, if the clock is not broke, don't fix it.
Yeah. If everything is respectful, then I don't see a problem with it either. I'm coming from a place of, now when I asked if you were in a relationship, I had a couple in counseling that had an issue with that. One of the partners still had pictures of her and her ex on Facebook for everybody to see, with them kissing and doing all kinds of things together. And her current partner had a problem with that. And I had to really counsel to say it's disrespectful since you've moved on. You're in a new relationship. It's not that you have to unfriend your ex, but she should perhaps think about removing those pictures off of Facebook now that she's in a new relationship. So as long as it's respectful and there's no drama, I don't see a problem with it. But there are some things that need to be considered if you are in a new relationship with someone else. That's just appropriate. And that's, you know, if there are pictures of you and your ex, doing things as a couple, you might want to just move them. you know, out of respect for your new partner. That's all.
Put them in your Dropbox if you need to.
Yeah, you know.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that last part.
I said put them
in
your
Dropbox.
If you have to, but, you know, some things you just don't want to create. Especially, I mean, if you're in a relationship with somebody, you don't want to see, you know, pictures with, you know, they slobbering all over each other or you know, just in an
right.
intimate type of way. It just don't look right. Just out of respect. That's all it is. You know, I would never do anything to hurt my woman or to make her feel insecure in every way, you know, in any way. I mean, I just wouldn't do it because what is it going to cost me to remove it or
exactly.
that type of thing? It's not going to cost me anything, but it will cost me the fact that I have to deal with a woman who's feeling uncomfortable and uneasy. That there's nothing that I want for more than not for my woman to feel that way. Not as it relates to something that I'm doing, but to somebody that I'm not even with, or you know, that's some things you just have to. It's the now. But as far as the deleting of the exes, I think, you know, that's not a big issue. It shouldn't be unless they're being disrespectful or they coming in on her post and saying, yeah, you know, I remember when me and you did. You know, they just
right.
being messy. That's different versus somebody just being there or, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. If they're just friends and maintaining a level of respect, it shouldn't be a problem. I don't see it as.
I think that many people have difficulty bringing closure on one aspect of their relationship and folding themselves into the other aspect of the relationship. By that I mean most people just assume our breakup was mutual, therefore we can be friends. But if they haven't brought closure onto the relationship aspect of their now friendship, it will inevitably cause some issues down the road, not only between the two of them, or not so much between, but for the two of them, but within relationships when either of those people are into relationships. For instance, if you've moved on and it was mutual and you're going to be friends and you don't really know the new partner, then you shouldn't have any beef or issues with the new partner, so there shouldn't be a problem. If your ex is disrespectful towards your partner, I find it extremely difficult, and this is just me. Again, this is Minister Dupree-Ulrich. I find it difficult to maneuver or try and maneuver or feel put in a position where I have to maneuver between, may it be a friend or an ex, with how they're dealing with my partner. If you can't be respectful to my partner and be respectful to my relationship, then you're not being that much of a friend to me in the first place. My partner didn't do anything to you. We were on bad terms and we were struggling and we were doing whatever we did and we broke up before my new partner came along. And there's no reason why you should have to feel a particular way about me having someone else unless you did not bring closure into that relationship. And it's very difficult to exercise your closure while still exercising how familiar you are with one another, because your familiarity is gone a step more than just you and your friend being familiar with one another, but you know the same things that their new partner, or maybe even more, that their new partner knows the intimate things about that person. And throwing it out, randomly tossing it up in the air for it to stick on your new partner's face isn't cool. And a lot of times people do that when they're still on the page. They may not even want you anymore in that way. But just seeing you happy with somebody else causes them to do some foolish things. And they will call and hold you up. Well, you knew me longer. We were friends. We were always friends. We said we would always be friends. They will make you hold to that and push your relationship on the back burner. So I would say that you have to be, again, you have to bring closure on things, and you can't act familiar in intimate ways, or you'll create a dynamic that'll be a problem in your relationship. You know who you can keep on, and you know what you have to remove, and that notion that I can't control them and I can't tell them what to do and I can't tell them how to feel. I'm the only person that's sure you can. I tell my friends stuff all the time. I tell my friends they're not doing the right thing all the time. Whenever they're not doing the right thing, you know that's not right, right? You know that's not cool. So you can't fall back on that, I don't have any control in this. Do you not trust me? No, I trust you. And I'm trusting what I'm watching you do is what they're going to say. I'm trusting that you have forgotten that you and I are in a relationship. Your heartstrings are attached to the wrong person at the moment. If I tell you it's making me feel uncomfortable, and they're your friends, they should understand, hey, let's chill for a minute till my relationships get straight, and, you know, we'll be back. We're friends. Where are you going?
Preach. That's the truth.
Okay. Caller, did we, caller number three, did we answer your question?
And you have a lot of things to think about. Thank you.
You're welcome. Floor is open. Well, I'm just going to call this person out because I know they're on the line, and I spoke with them earlier today when we were at work. And here's their question, because they're never going to say that they'll be at work talking to me, trying to get me to give them all of the answers that you would be giving them for you. Because they're going to say, what would so-and-so say? So I'm going to let you guys answer this question for her, for yourself. She wants to know why she has prayed and asked God to bring her a particular kind of man, and bring into her life a man who will love her, who will respect her, who will treat her like the wonderful and beautiful woman that she is. And then when one comes along, she's disinterested, and all she wants to do is run and nitpick every little thing about what he does. That's her question.
Maybe she wants to stop looking to date yourself, if that makes sense. You know, we tend to, I think people tend to look at themselves, and when we're out looking for someone, we're looking for us instead of opening a door or going out that box or something else. Does that make sense? Am I saying what I'm saying correctly? We want to do that. You know, do you want to date yourself for the things that you're looking for? Are you looking for, I don't want to say, so what you're looking for, is that something, so you're looking for something, I don't know what the heck I'm saying at this point in time, but when it all boils down, I think people kind of want to date themselves, so your expectations is high because you're looking for somebody to give you every little thing that you expect. And I don't think people can find themselves. Do y'all understand what I'm trying to say?
I understand what you're saying. I understand. If she would speak up on her own behalf instead of having me to talk for her, her thing has been she's always either been drawn to or attracted the bad boys. And this is not a bad boy. He's not a bad boy. And she really doesn't know how to deal with him because she's so accustomed to the bad boy, you know, those that are out there and you got to argue with them all the time about there are other women or their chicks on the side and they are disrespectful about what time they come in and they talk all sideways to you and things like that. And it's the very thing that she's always wanted to get away from. And now what she's been asking for is staring her in the face. And all she can do is find things about him that she deems irritating or thinking he's thirsty. because she's pretty much had to chase them, and she's not used to being chased.
If I can, let me say something about that, because I was a family for lots of years. I finally got somebody after praying for somebody who was more sensitive, more level-headed, not having criminal tendencies and no thugs and all that. You have to realize that without their flaws, they're not going to be a bad boy, no, but that isn't going to make them automatically perfect. So you have to be realistic when you're looking for somebody who has these non-thoughts, who's not a bad boy. You have to still accept the fact that they're going to be flawed. So if she's going to nitpick, she's going to nitpick with everybody, bad boy or not. So you got to be realistic.
Okay, anyone else? Anyone else have anything they want to add to that?
And also, too, bad boy or good boy, people don't like to be nitpicked on all the time. They don't want to be feel like they being nagged at, or that can be annoying, and you're going to nitpick them right on out the door, and what's going to happen. Because, I mean, they can tolerate probably for so much, well, I can say myself, but, you know, because what's going to happen is they try to rectify the situation, you know, after you nitpick. But if you just have a habit of nitpicking, then that's something that you have to personally fix within yourself. Those are issues that you have to, you can't pray and ask God to send you somebody, and then when you get it, you push them away with, you know, nitpicking them and you know, whatever. There are some things that you have to work on. There are some things that you have to do to get yourself prepared to be with that person that you so desire. Because, I mean, nobody's perfect. We all have flaws or whatever, and if we know that we have some characteristics about ourselves that are not so pleasing, and then some people will say, well, if they do this, then I wouldn't have to nitpick. Nobody is to be controlled. I mean, you can ask people to do things or whatever, but there's always going to be something that a person has got. You have to learn how to accept people. If they're not out here doing some things extraordinary, I mean, like really, really out there, you know, some people got habits. You know, everybody grew up in two different backgrounds, and they came up in, you know, two different ways of life or whatever of doing things. You know, you like butter, he likes margarine, or whatever the case may be. Or I'm not eating that stuff. Well, now it don't make sense to buy two different type of things. You know, nitpicking stuff like that or whatever. When some things you just have to learn how to compromise. You cannot nitpick everything, because if you don't, then it's gonna be it causes a sore. Even if you do it to your skin, some things you're just gonna have to, you know, I don't know. We have to first get ourselves together. You can pray all day, you can pray all night, but until you work some things out within yourself, you know, you can get the thing that you've been praying for and asking for, and if you're not ready, then, you know, and that's sometimes why people don't get it, because they're not even ready for what they're asking for.
Okay.
And everybody don't like to be, everybody don't chase like me. I don't chase. I could be exactly what you think or what you want, but if you think I'm going to chase you and compromise my character to appease you, that's not going to happen. But you may look for this particular person to do something that the rest of them did, and you're going to find yourself sitting up there with nobody. With the bad boy that's going to, I don't know, can we curse or whatever? I don't know.
This is adults, all adults.
Okay, you're going to mess around and going to be playing in your little stuff, and he's going to be out there finding somebody else. While you nitpicking because you like butter, there is such a thing as compromise. Instead of, let's just give an example, instead of you complaining about his pink hat, you know, save that pink hat argument for the day he wears checkers and play. Weigh out what's important and what's not. But he may not be that kind of person that's going to chase, because I believe in you right there. You waiting on some flowers, and you waiting on roses, and I gave you daisies, and you complaining about the roses. Well, you ain't going to get nothing no more from me.
Well, this is Minister Dupree, and my take for you on this is the following. It's scary to finally come face to what it is that you've been asking for when you've had so much of what you didn't want to have. It's scary because it's new and it's different. And it's so different that, you know, you feel a little out of your water. And whenever we feel a little out of our water and feel backed into a corner, we swing, we push, and we fight. What I'm saying to you is love is like water. And having someone who wants to show you love and who appreciates you and wants to show you all those things and wants to treat you with kindness takes some treading, takes some swimming, takes some backstroking. It even takes some moments of just laying on your back in the water and letting the waves take you out into the middle. While the warm sun beams down on you. Because when you fight water, water wins. So you don't want to fight the water. You want to swim in the water. You want to swim into the current. You want to swim alongside the current. So you want to embrace what it is that you've asked. And you said you asked God. And I'm going to get a little spiritual with you on this aspect. You asked God for something. And God gave you what you asked for. Say thank you and enjoy the ride. See where it goes. It might be a better ride with less bumps.
Here's my question.
Row the boat. Row a boat.
Friend of mine told me last year sometime with the situation I was going to, and she told me, she said, maybe the person is used to swimming in ponds and don't know how to swim in the ocean. So if you don't know how to swim in the ocean, in the sense of being in the ocean, so if the person is used to walking in the ponds and all, and she's scared of, you know, let's just say, of the ocean, then maybe she needs to sit back and see, like you said, see if she's ready to swim.
Yeah, but, you know, I want her, I'm not going to tell her what to do, but I want her to be open to embracing something different, if something different is really what she wants. Because let's face it, when you're swimming, when you're first learning how to swim, you're scared of all of the water, whether it's 3 feet or 12, whether it's a pond, a lake, a ocean, or a wedding pool. If you're scared of the water, you're scared of the water, no matter if it's shallow or if it's deep. What I'm saying is you got to step into it before you can judge whether or not you can handle it. You don't have to fully immerse yourself into it, but you got to step into it to see whether or not it's something you can handle before you just discard it and say it's too much.
So here's a question.
Oh, I don't like
it. Do people date? I'm just curious because I find it works better for me if you go out and have fun without expectations. So, and then if it grows, then it's like, yay! But when you put yourself up there and you're thinking about down the line, marriage, down the line, whatever, you never really got to actually spend the time to date. So why not just go out with it without an expectation? Go and enjoy it and have dinner and have fun and stop looking for it. Down the line, we're going to get married, or I'm looking for a husband. Because to me, that seems like that puts more pressure on you. Because now you're really going to kick in, But if you just enjoy it, embrace it without no long-term expectations, then it'll grow into something. Kind of like
people
just
who are
date without looking for marriage. Just date. You fall into the marriage. You know, but if you're going, to me, if you putting it all down that I want them to be successful, I want them to have this, I want them to have the money, I want them to dress this way, I want them to act this way and say this way and all that, because you're priming this person. So you're not looking at who that person is because you already got your list up what you want that person to be. But if you didn't have a list and you just enjoy it and just date, have fun with it, without thinking down the line you're going to get married. When you get to know that individual and you went outside the box without really knowing that you're standing outside that box with him.
For the people
Minister.
Who are just joining us, this is Life, Love, and Full Enlightenment. We have open mic tonight. The way we handle this is we give our area code and last four digits, or you can give your name, or if you want to have a pseudo name, you can do that. Also, this is a safe space. Everything stays here, and all walks of life are welcome. So if you have a question, please chime in. We're respectful, so let's, if nothing else, let's be respectful. And the floor is back open. Any questions?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm 919. And now talking without even introducing. But do anybody understand or see what I'm trying to say? Guess not.
Regarding, that was you talking just now?
Yeah, just
yes.
Enjoy it.
Well, see, we didn't,
don't have
I didn't know, because, hey, I didn't know who was talking because we didn't give a number. So, no, I understand what you're saying. I understand that one should not go into relationships with expectations, but you know that's in an ideal circumstance and an ideal world, and people in a different mindset and a level. But for most people, they're all going in with an expectation, if nothing more than an expectation to at least have a relationship that they're going to enjoy. So everybody, you know, has some sort of an expectation. Everybody's not as evolved as you are with the, you know, let's just go and go out and have, and not saying that you're not evolved when you're not saying that. I'm trying to say that people have expectations, and it's a human thing. It's a human thing. And
yeah,
you know, whereas
some
people have less.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have something to say about the bad boy. This is Sky. About choosing the bad boy, the person, if she's on the audience, I have a couple of questions. And I'm going to admit there was a time that I was the same way. Had to be a bad boy. I didn't want anybody boring, you know, that kind of thing. You have different levels of bad boy, is the way I put it. When it's on the level of you're really being disrespected, if there's abuse involved and things like that, then you really have to ask yourself, why are you choosing this? Why are you allowing somebody to constantly come in and disrespect you and abuse you? That's a bigger situation, and that's a bigger question where you have to do some inner work for yourself. But if you're that person, you know, kind of like me, that likes somebody with a little edge, you know, it doesn't have to be the bad boy who's going to just really brutalize you and disrespect you. You know, it can be one little who just has a slight edge. Because if you do find someone and there's no chemistry and you find him really boring, it's just not going to work for you because that chemistry is not there. Do you understand what I'm saying, guys? So you have
yes.
to consider the level of bad boy. Some can be bad boys, but not disrespectful, and they can be caring and all of those things. But if you're talking about the person that we're talking about, if your situation is constantly you have that guy who's like a serial cheater that's disrespecting you, not coming home, being abusive, then you have to question yourself, why are you choosing that? Why do you feel that you don't deserve better? Then that's a whole nother ball game, a whole nother area you need to work with. But I get, you know, some that like people with that little edge. to them instead of, you know, what they might consider boring. Because if you just go off with someone who you consider boring and there's no chemistry, then you're probably going to end up hurting that individual. And you understand? So that's not going to be a good deal for you either. So, but maybe consider a bad boy who's not as bad. You know, because we like what we like. Realistically, we like what we like. And for her, she might not like the what you might consider the boring boy. You know, so she might have to get an edge. But like I said, if it's something more on a level of abuse, then that's a different situation.
Any other questions?
Yes.
On what Sky is saying, how do you define bad or boring boy? Does good mean boring and bad boy means,
well,
you know?
Well, that's an individual thing. I mean, we're speaking to different people, but it's all individual, and you know what you like. You know what you like. What you might find have an edge, I might find it boring. So it's an individual. She has to look into herself and see. I don't know what level of bad boy she's dealing with. She's not speaking up. Minister is speaking for her. So you understand? So it's. I need more information to really answer that question because, like I said, if she's on the level of totally being disrespected, you know, and looking for that on a regular basis, that's a bigger problem, and that's her. It's not the bad boy. That's her. Something is going on with her that she's making those choices. So because we're not hearing from her, I'm just trying to be kind of broad here.
Right.
But not all bad boys are at that level of abuse. You have some just with a little edge, and if that's going to give you the chemistry you need, that's what you need. But it's, you know, it all depends.
I was just wondering because, you know, I'm bad in my own way.
Most of you are, but
I'm bad in my own way now. I ain't gonna put it out there like that, but yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm not boring, not at all. But I just, you know, okay.
Just a little edge, just a little challenge. You know, some people need a little challenge there, just a little bit. You know,
he's this guy. These two guys are on the total opposite ends of the spectrum. And I'm not sure why, even after I introduced the question for her, she's still afraid to speak. But these guys are at total opposite ends of the spectrum. When I say bad boy, razor sharp bad boy. And when I say good guy, the kind of good guy that says, well, good morning to you. And how is your day going? And, you know, I was so afraid to talk to you when we were younger. It made me so nervous. And he's just so excited that she will give him some attention. He's trying to pour out all kinds of love to show her what it is, the energy that she's sending out that she says she wants. Here it is. He's sending that to her, and she's scared.
So it's really kind of like a...
She's scared.
She's scared, okay. Yeah.
She's
not used to
that. Exactly. She doesn't want that bad boy thing because all she does is complain about it when she has it. But this is something that's so drastically different, it scares her.
But it sounds like she has some issues that she has to work on upon herself.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
She's probably not feeling worthy of that. You know, and if that's the case, she has to do some work on herself.
So it's almost like
When you're in the water, you're gonna do two things when you get in the water, and this is what we mean when we're saying work on yourself, because you're gonna do two things when you get in the water. You're gonna swim, or you're gonna take in water. So, what is it worth for you? If for you, these are the things you desire. If you want love, if you want respect, if you want to be treated with the matching of worthiness, and remember we talked about worthiness last week, that it's not a financial thing. We're talking about
humanistic worth. You want to be more than just that person. They can call at 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm not saying this is her, but you want to be worth more than that booty call.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got to get in the water. And if you don't know how to swim, tread. When you get tired of treading, lay back and let the water float you. But in order for you to have some growth, you have to work on yourself. And working on yourself is about getting in that water and swimming.
And if this is something that you ask for and it's there for you, you know, and if it's about you being afraid, you need to jump in the water. Just jump in the water and trust. It could be just what you're looking for and what you've asked for.
So is this kind of like a cross between Arthur Fonzarelli and Richie Cunningham?
Oh, my.
Yes. 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 And okay. worse than Fonzie, because at least Fonzie was a lover. You know what I'm saying? And I never heard Fonzie disrespect and call any women out of their names, but then this was bubblegum television, so you couldn't hear it.
Yeah, right.
The character that Fonzie was just overly cool and a womanizer. And that's a part of, you know, for some, that's a part of being a bad boy also. But, I mean, you know, that calling her, you know, that calling you out your name and being disrespectful and thinking they can do anything that they want to do, and you should accept it because, after all, you know, I'm a bad boy. And here this other person coming along, what you want, what you need, you know, how can I? Kind of spirit about him. And I don't know if it's boring to her. It's annoying because she's not used to it. It's like having a mosquito around your ear all the time. She's just not used to hearing that stuff.
Well, I guess I would be considered a boring one then, because I cater to my baby. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we cater to each other, but
she didn't say he was boring. She thought his direction towards her. She thought the way that he was dealing, because he, you know, he contacts her all the time. He sends her text messages. He calls her in the morning or texts her to see how she's doing. To her, that seems thirsty. To us, that seemed like interest. But to her,
so,
that
for
seems
for somebody
thirsty
to act like they don't care,
not used to
that
it.
They run. Okay.
Yeah,
so
she's not used to it.
Okay. Yeah. You're worth it. You are worth it. And if you're getting that, because the bad boy is not going to lead to anywhere.
Wait, are you going to talk now?
Yes, I've been talking.
Yeah,
I was
going to
say, that kind of lets me know where the scared part comes in now, because being that I'm a young female, I know that scared part, because, yes, we do want the gentleman to show interest. But there is a thing that you're leery about when it comes to dating and dealing with men, because they do things that would show too much interest, and that's where the thirst comes in. It's a line that you draw between on how to alleviate the two. And as a young female, I can honestly say you do want the attention. You want them to show interest. You want them to be a certain way with you. But there is some things that a man can do to kind of throw you for a loop if they go overboard with the too much interest, because some men move too fast.
Well, honey, I would tell you that works all kinds of ways. Some women will move too fast.
Yep, women too. I don't want to redirect that just to the men. The women do it too. So that's where that line is drawn. So when I heard one of you say she's scared, now that we were going on into the conversation, I can understand where that word came into play, because now I'm thinking, like, some things you do would scare a person. And then there's some things you would be receptive to, because you want that attention, especially if you want that person to show interest in you, but it's just a way of going about it.
How long have you been dating? How long have you been dating? Just curious.
Are you asking me that?
Yeah.
I've been divorced since 2010, and I have been dating since then, but I'm actually in a relationship. I've been in a relationship for the past 2.5 years.
Okay, Minister, is this the person that you're referring to?
No, she kind of came out
I'm
for
just,
a brief
a
moment
listener.
And went back in.
Okay, I'm just keying in.
She came out for a brief second and went back in.
Okay.
Guys, it's okay if you want to continue to talk. We can go over a little.
It's okay to tell her,
this is new.
Too.
This gentleman is new. She's not giving him a chance out the gate.
Okay.
She's too scared to give him a chance out the gate.
Tell him. There's nothing wrong with saying you, you know, babe, I kind of like when you call me, but, you know, sometimes when you call me 12 times a day, you know, it's kind of aggravating. I'm not a person that want to talk on the phone 12 times a day. I mean, he can't do no better if he don't know better. So if he's doing certain things to irritate her, that comes with communication. Let him know.
Right.
I don't want to run you off, but, you know, I speak for me. And I'm 919, you know me. I'm not the one that's going to be on the phone all day long. I'm not going to be playing text games with you all day long because I get tired of talking. So I'll say, okay, good morning is good, you know, and throughout the day, you know, we could chit-chat here and there, but 20 times a day and you keep telling me how much you adore me, how much you love me, how much you like me, that's like a too much sweet to me. It gives me a toothache. You can express yourself, but sometimes it becoming to be whining is my word, you know. And it's okay to tell him that. You could say it in a much more softer, you know, mannerism. But it's okay to let him know that, you know, I like you too. Right now I just want to enjoy it. But, you know, the 20 times a day phone calls, I'm not really into that. Then he won't call you 20 no more. He probably called you 6. But it just seems to me you need to communicate with him and let him know what you're not used to, so that he won't be looking like at you like you're crazy. Any other woman get ignored it. Well, I'm not any other woman, and I'm not used to this. You're going to have to feed me, you know, baby food first. Talk to him. Let him know that you're not really digging all of that stuff. You know?
Any other questions?
I
like the way you guys are all getting involved in this because, you know, iron sharpens iron and you can get different types of feedbacks and you don't have to take all of anything that you're hearing. You don't even have to take any of anything that you're hearing, but you find those nuggets and those things that are treasures for you that you can take away and you put them in your chest and you keep them for the times that you need them. Everything here is just we're talking. We have an open round table, and we're talking, and we're trying to empower one another. Any other questions?
I have a question. 6. If you are submissive and you like being dominated, and your partner is the opposite, you know, and when you're not getting the handcuffs and tie you up type of stuff, you know, you get the same old, I guess, a little missionary and a little here and there, and you try to discuss it and talk about it. And it always get a, I was, I'm going to, but it never pans out. What's another way to, I am a very, very, very blunt person, so evidently my bluntness is not working very well, so but it's another way to express it, you know, the sex is boring as hell, basically.
Well, lay the toys on the bed. She come out of the shower, they'll be laid out there on the bed. The whips, the chains, the handcuffs, the whatever it is that you want. See what she does with it.
Nothing, because that person doesn't know nothing about it, you know. And you send the literature, you talk about it, you send the literature, you rent movies, you talk about it, you know, this is what I'm in. But now this is a conversation that's been going on prior to getting involved. You know, let's just say they knew that this is something that I'm into. You were down before, you know, But then when you're getting ready to actually start up something, you don't know enough.
I think you should just, you know, just handle it a little bit differently. Like maybe say something like, well, you know what, baby, I think I want you to tie me up tonight. Why don't you just, you know what I'm saying? Maybe she might need something like that, a coaching. Because for some people, it could be a little bit embarrassing if they're not used to doing it. Like, oh, I really don't know what to do. You know, and sometimes it's okay. You know, I mean, but sometimes people need a little bit more help. I don't need no help. I don't need that kind of help. But some people do, honey. It's okay.
It's like, you know, 50 Shades the book is different than 50 Shades the movie.
Sure.
I'm the book. But
okay.
They the movie. If you've seen the movie, you see the movie was bland. That ain't nothing like the lifestyle.
Okay, well, did you know this? Oh, well, you said y'all talked about it before, right?
Right. I can do that. Oh, I know how.
But you know what?
I'm down with that.
But you know what? I'm so silly, and that's why I can get away with so much, especially in the bedroom, because I'm so silly, and they never know what to expect from me. And they're like, are you serious? Yes, I am, baby. But you know what? Sometimes you have to add the spice. Don't expect them to always have it. You know what I'm saying? They might have a little bit, but yours might be a little bit more spicier. And if you have it, don't sit back them and wait on something that they don't have. Add what you have into it and then allow them to, you know, because if you had already talked about it, and had that conversation or whatever, and they never said, well, I'm against it. You know, if they're not against it or whatever, then just go for it. You're not strangers. I mean, if you're a couple
of... It's not against it.
Okay.
You know, it's not against it, but you do absolutely nothing to initiate it, try it, buy, participate. You absolutely don't do nothing. But then when you bring it up, it'd be, well, I was going to do such and such Friday, you know. You know.
But do you have a problem initiating it?
It sounds like she wants to be dominated. And
she
wants to
saying.
Dominate her is
okay.
More submissive than she
okay.
is. Is that what
well,
you're
you
saying?
Know that? Okay. All right.
They have the great promise that it'll be greater later.
Oh,
like,
I see.
And later,
never
come around.
So I don't know. They don't know what to do. Because I'm a fool in that area. But I don't know. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, you know, there's some people who do. You know, it's always, it'll be greater later because they're not going to just flat out say to you, hell, look, I can't do that, Shooks. I'm not dominant.
And
requiring of me is foreign to me, and so it's hard for me to do it. But I don't want to lose you. You know, I want to stay with
selling.
You. So
that's selling.
Like, well, that's what's gonna happen.
Right, truthfully, because you sold it. It's like you're selling a product, but then when you buy it, you find out it's just trash.
It don't work.
It was the latest switch.
Right.
It was the bait and switch.
And then you look at the person, you be like, okay, I know they're the sweetest person there is. You know, you're nice. You know, you attempt to try to do certain things. You know, but anything other than that, it's just you don't want to hurt the person's feelings, but you're dissatisfied. You know, you sold me. You know, I was catfish. How about that one? I was catfish because.
Wow.
Well, if you're already talking to them and they still making promises, I think at this point you have to resolve yourself to just, you know, you're always going to get a promise and never really going to get the actual act. So. You might have to
go outside.
Assist them. You may have to assist them in some of the things. Like you may have to guide if you like being choked while you're making love. You may have to guide their hand to your neck and help them.
I ain't going that far. I ain't gonna be choking.
Well, I'm with it. So, you know, I'm with it. Here's what it is. But when you guide that individual, or, you know, to do it, and it's a soft hand, it's a weakened hand, then what's the point of doing it? If you're not going to do it right, you're trying to show that person how to do it and enjoy it, and you can't enjoy it because you teach it. See, I'm not a teacher. I'm not going to be teaching. You supposed to knew this from the get-go.
Well, you don't want to teach nobody to mess with your neck that ain't never messed with it before.
Well, one thing,
if you're in a lifestyle, you already know.
Yeah,
one thing for sure is that as far as sex goes, that's a little bit on the extreme side for some. But one thing is for sure, pushing somebody to do something is not going to work. It's just not going to happen. So my suggestion is just work on the intimacy between the two of you. Just work on that, the intimacy, and let that build, let that passion build over time, because the more you push someone, the more resistant they're going to be, especially with something like that. So if you work on the intimacy and your passion and build that up, it can just naturally happen one day, and you'll fall into that space.
One day.
You understand what I'm saying? One day. I mean,
A relationship
is not all about sex. You know, there's things. I mean, if this is where you are, this is where you want to be, if this is your partner, you know, then yes, one day it can possibly happen. But the pushing constantly in the moment is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It's not going to be what either one of you want when it comes that way. But if you work on your intimacy, if you work on your passion, building that and that bond, it can naturally just come.
You be encouraged. You just be encouraged, honey. Be encouraged.
That's an interesting outlook when, let's just say, from 17 until 53, that's your life. So now, yeah. You got a one day wait until one day happens.
Well, as I was saying,
that's a different approach.
As I was saying, you know, you're gonna have to if you want to maintain this love relationship. We like to call it a lifestyle of love. And if you want to remain in this lifestyle of love with this person, then, you know, at that point in that area, for that aspect of it, they're not going to be able to meet you all the way in that aspect. So you have some questions to ask yourself, you know, is there another area that I can get as much gratification that they are comfortable in doing and that they will do without needing me to prod them. And you're going to miss that other part that was an extreme turn-on, but you might come across something else that you can grow in and build and make it stronger, and not so much as a replacement of, but something that will give you both gratification. You know, you may have to acquiesce off of that one for a little while and find something else that you are meeting one another in and grow that. That's just my thoughts on it. You know, I know there are some things that we have to have, and we, you know, that really, really rings our bell. It doesn't mean your bell can't be rung on it. It might take them, like I said, it'd be greater later. It might be something that they really, really will take a long time to grow into, or it may be something they may never grow into. But let me ask you, is it enough to say, I don't think I'm going to be able to stay? Because that's really the answer. That's really the question. That's really the real question.
I can honestly say I don't see no how, if you can understand that. It's just the norm. It's just boring. It's just boring.
I understand. We're not always equally yoked in the bedroom. And that's something else
right.
that people should be honest about.
Well, I'm going to equal that yoke.
Right.
Janet. Any other
You're
questions?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's you know. And you got to ask yourself if that's more important than the other parts of the relationship totality. Not don't weigh each one individually against it, one at a time. All of the other stuff that's good, is it worth letting all of the other stuff in totality go for that? So it might be something you guys can learn and grow in together.
I'm too old to be trying to grow in together, girl. I need to be, as you say, equally open. We're going to either do it or we're not, but waiting 5, 6 years.
So does that mess up every other thing in your relationship? Is that kind of like put a damper on everything else in your relationship? Because some people it does. If the sex ain't right, then everything else is just like, you know.
There's other things, but I think if that was better, then I may can tolerate the other lack of.
Okay.
You gotta have something within it that you can say, like I said about the other person. Okay, he wore a pink hat, so I ain't gonna argue about the pink hat. I'm gonna argue when he put on checkers and flag. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
understood.
At this
right.
particular moment, if one thing was better, you could tolerate the other. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's at a point that I'm getting to, I'm frustrated that you can't, you know, do this, you're not dependable for this and this and that. Or, you know, you try to do this and this and this. Versus, okay, well, I could deal with all this if this was better. Something has to do. And I would think that part would be the easier part to give.
For you.
The other stuff.
For you. Because that might be the hard part for them. That might be the hard part for them to give. So my suggestion, aside from some of what both Janet and Sky said, I think you probably need a hodgepodge of our answers. I would say, communication when you're not frustrated about how you're feeling and where you guys are, and even the dreaded where you think you can go.
Well, I do the communication. I mean,
it's gonna
you know
be,
me. I'm going to talk.
Yes.
So I do the talk. Sometimes it's just like on deaf ear. You know, and then you get frustrated. Now I'm not talking no more. Now I'm just shutting the heck down. So now there's nothing.
You do the talk, but do you do the listening?
I listen, but sometimes it's like it's repeating. It's the same crap. It's the same thing.
But
instead of the I, now you use a beast. You know, but it's the same. It's always, on that part, it's always, I was thinking of. It always falls down on that. On the other stuff, you know, there's always a but or a reason why. So you get to the point, you shut down, you don't even want to hear anything, and you don't want to bring it up because you're going to hear the same, I was thinking, I read up on. You know, it's an excuse. It's always something.
Sometimes people have to feel safe in a relationship. And I'm not saying that person don't feel safe, but I know the safer I am with my partner and the more I trust my partner, and I'm not really talking about, like, trust them not to cheat, but, like, trust them with me, trust them with my spirit, trust them with my vulnerability, the more I'm open to trying new things and doing new things, I think all of that has a part to play in someone's being sexually liberated and free and open.
But within the lifestyle, you have to be trusting your partner to even be within that lifestyle. You have to be able to trust your dominant partner with everything in order to get that degree.
You'd be
so
surprised.
919.
That's not true. That's not necessarily true.
Is somebody is everybody okay on the line?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
It sounds
like
somebody's having a hard time.
Sounds like somebody's choking or something. Hello?
Well, got a skin flick playing in the background.
Is she trying to bring the excitement to the call?
Maybe she's being choked. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought someone was choking. What you're saying is that, you know, it's easy, especially when you meet people online and so on and so forth, for people to say that they're in certain lifestyles, because, you know, it's
uh-huh.
cool to say. And there are some people who think they're really in certain lifestyles because they've seen it on a video or something, and they think they know what it's all about and all of that stuff. Not everybody really understands the lifestyle of S&M and bondage and all of that stuff, because if they, you know, you don't just become a dominant, you don't just become a sub, you know, there's, you know, you graduate in levels of those things. And so when they say they can do it and they're in the lifestyle, a lot of it's in their mind. And then they've never really been in a lifestyle. So when they come face to face to it, you know, they have, because I just couldn't imagine anyone who has been in a lifestyle. And I'm going to try to wrap this up on this question, and we're going to have to close this down, because I know I've held everyone almost 30 minutes over our normal time. When someone says that they're in that life, and for you to run into the circumstances and the situations that you're running into, you know, they just weren't honest, because it's that's just impossible for them to have been in that life and to run into the difficulties that they're running into. So that's one thing you guys are going to have to deal and talk about, and you're going to have to let them know if for you, it doesn't mean that you're going to end the relationship. You have to let them know that, and you have to let them know that it's okay and it's safe for them to be honest that, you know, they just were saying that because they knew that that would be something that would float your boat,
mm-hmm.
you know, and be honest. And then the person would be free to do what it is that they do, that they could potentially do to really not seem so boring to you. They're so busy trying to do what they pretended to say that they could do, that the stuff that they can do and probably do very well and not seem so boring is going by the wayside because they're busy trying to do and be something that they're not. So that, when I say have a talk with them, you need to have a talk with them about that, and on that level within that discussion, because that, you know, they couldn't come from that arena and be responding in the way that you're saying they're responding. It's just an oxymoron for people who are in that lifestyle to not do it. So that's a discussion that you're going to have to really have with them, and you got to let them feel safe when you're having that discussion. And you got to be willing to not say, oh, no, another blah, 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 but really listen to what they're going to say. I'm going to wrap this up. We have this open mic every Thursday night. I'm sorry, every last Thursday of the month. And this is something we're trying that's new, and it seems to be a very good experience for everyone. I would hope that you enjoyed it. I want to take some time now to thank all of you for dialing in and staying in with us over for 24 minutes. Thank you, love you. For all of that, I want to thank everyone for being respectful to one another. I want to thank everyone who opened up and felt free to discuss the situation. Now I want to go to the meat of my thanks. I want to thank my three co-hosts. I heard A. Michelle chime in. Welcome, A. Michelle, and thank you for coming in. I want to thank Janet Hurd for coming in, and I definitely want to thank Sky Vaughn. My co-hosts are wonderful, and they're nothing but always gracious for me. I pay them nothing, and they come in bringing everything, and they give out treasures every week. And I want to say thank you, and I can't thank you enough for that. We can be, all of us can be found on Facebook, me as Creme de la Creme, or I can be found in Love and Life, Love and Full Enlightenment called Life. Janet Hurd can be found under Janet Hurd or with her L45. Sky Vaughn can be found on Facebook as Sky Vaughn. A. Michelle Grogan can be found on Facebook as A. Michelle Grogan. We want to thank everyone for chiming in tonight, and you're always welcome. Next time and next week, we'll be back. We'll be back with a topic. Haven't put it out yet, but we will be back with a topic that will be worth everyone dialing in. And bring a friend, you know. Let them know what's going on, and let them know that we're about empowering one another. And just bring a friend and join in. I want to say good night to everyone, and thank you for dialing in. Life, love, and full enlightenment, and love one another to the fullest power while we empower one another. Have a great night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.